time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's word, if you turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 16 through 21 to begin with. You'll find it on page 629 in the Pew Bible there in front of you, page 629. John chapter 3, and when you get there, if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. John chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And here the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. For he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. I'm praying now, God, that You anoint us for just a few minutes to be able to preach on this text. God, You know the subject matter, the straight from Your Word about salvation. God, You know the minds and hearts of each person that's in this building this morning that's listening. And God, You know the need that's there. And Lord, we're just relying on You today to preach for us and through us. And help us, Father, and that You'll be glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, it wasn't very long ago I was preaching the funeral of a 92-year-old lady. Now, she had lived a good long life. She had a lot of good friends. She is a faithful church member. She'd done a lot of things for the Lord. But while I was preaching there at her funeral, even at 92 years old, I couldn't help but be overwhelmed at the thought of life is very short. Even at 92 years old, if you go talk to the average person, it doesn't matter their age, they don't think that there's enough time. We're all considered about time running out. And there's a good reason for that. The Bible says, "As is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And so we know that there is a time coming when each one of us will have to face death in some form or fashion. Whether we close our eyes in death at a natural old age or at 92, or whether we're a young person. And friends, they're dying at all ages today. If you look at the obituaries today, you're going to find them ranging from very young to very old throughout there. And so we're not guaranteed our next breath. I've known people that sat right here in this very church, on a church pew here in this church, alive and well, seemingly nothing wrong. And the very day that they sat here after they left, they passed away unexpectedly. And so we don't know when our time will come, but you can guarantee one thing. Your time is coming. And there are two places where people go when they close their eyes in death. One place is heaven, which we all desire to be there. The other place is a place that's called hell. That is a place where people go that are not saved. People that go that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, has never received Him as such. Those that has never experienced true salvation, they will go to a place called hell. There is no coming out of there. There is no place where somebody can go and pray for you to get out of there. There's no place that you can go and you can pay a priest to pray you out of hell. You will not come from hell. It's everlasting. Just as heaven is everlasting, hell is everlasting as well. It's eternal. And the Bible says it's a place of torment. The Bible says it's a place where the fire never quenches, where they thirst, where the worm dieth not, where you will be desperate to get out, but you will never get out. Well, this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to take the Word of God and stress to you the most important thing in every man and woman's life on the face of this earth, and that is salvation. Salvation. You know, most folks won't live to be 90. And we spend an awful lot of time down here on this earth worrying about things. How much money we have. Our health. Our jobs. And I know we have to have money to get through this life. And we have to have certain things. And we rely upon our jobs to be able to live and own a home and to be able to do things. But friends, we spend a lot of time worrying about the here and now. And very few people today are worrying about what's to come. This time that we have right now on this earth will be like a raindrop on the ocean. Nothing. Minuscule. Oh, we think it's a long, long life. This lady, she could tell you at 92 years old that even though she was ready to meet the Lord, she still had a lot of things she'd like to have done. Well, to understand here why Jesus spoke the words that we began out with this morning, we started with John 3:16, which of course is probably, you could call it, the most famous Bible verse in all the world. Even the lost sinner understands John 3:16, or he may not understand it fully, but he knows of it. In the day that we live in, you don't see it posted in many places. When I grew up, John 3:16 was everywhere. You'd find signs in stores. You could go in a store and find John 3:16 on the counter. And I remember that being the first Bible verse that I ever learned as just a little boy. I grew up in North Acres Baptist Church where my grandfather preached. He was the pastor there, and I was just a little boy running around with all of our friends. And you know what the first verse was that they taught us in Sunday school? Was John 3:16. And I could memorize that and quote it. I can remember standing with all my little classmates across the front of the church, and the teacher got up and we all recited John 3:16. And everybody was so happy and it was so wonderful. All to go back to that time, back in those days. You don't hear much of that anymore. You don't hear John 3:16 mentioned much anymore. But to understand why Jesus spoke those words to Nicodemus, I want us to take it from the context. Look up there at verse 1. We didn't read it, but let's read it. John 3:1. Again, it's page 629 in the Church Pew Bible. John 3:1. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let's stop there for a minute and let's kind of catch up what's going on. Nicodemus, the Bible says, who is a ruler of the Jews, that meant that he had a very high position there, a religious position. No doubt he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. He probably had a large role in the synagogue or maybe in the temple. But Nicodemus was a very high up man. That's one reason probably that he came to Jesus in the night so that everybody wasn't watching what he was doing. And you'd get the tongues wagging, you know. But he comes to Jesus and notice he did not ask Jesus about eternal life. He didn't ask him anything at all about that. He just comes and says, "We know that thou must be from God. The way you're teaching here, you must be." But what did Jesus say to him? Without him even asking, Jesus answered the question that was burning in his heart. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was concerned about what was going to happen to him when he left this walk of life. He wanted to know where he was going to end up. He was concerned about it. Even though he was a religious man, which he'd be considered a godly man in that day. You know, there's a lot of people that could be considered godly, but they don't know anything about salvation. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. Well, here Nicodemus comes to him with this burning question that Jesus perceives and knows, and he tells him the very first thing that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's speaking about the afterlife. That's speaking about what's to come. And so Jesus tells him, you must be born again. Friends, that's called the new birth. You know, you don't hear that preached in many churches today about the new birth. The new birth is essential in salvation. In fact, you cannot be saved without the new birth taking place. The new birth, of course, is not a physical birth, which Nicodemus is going to ask about. Let's go ahead and continue the text so we get this all in context. Look at verse 4, John 3:4. Nicodemus said unto him, "Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" You see, he's thinking with the physical sense. He's not thinking spiritually. And so he's asking Jesus, well, how is this humanly possible for a man such as me that's already an old man? I've already been born. How can I be born again? That just doesn't seem possible. Can I go back into my mother's womb and be birthed again? And so Jesus is going to open up his eyes here. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Notice over and over and over, Jesus keeps putting the emphasis on being born of the Spirit. Get out of your flesh, Nicodemus. Quit thinking about the physical and start thinking on the spiritual. I'm talking about a spiritual new birth in your life. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Again, remember, Nicodemus is a religious man. He's a high man. He knows the Scripture. He's studied the Psalms. He's studied the prophecies. He's studied the books of Moses. He knows all of this information, yet he doesn't understand the spiritual sense behind it. And so Jesus calls him out. He gives him a mild rebuke. Are you you mean to tell me you're a master of Israel? That means a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then that led us into our opening text in John 3:16 of Jesus revealing that great truth. You see, Nicodemus being a very religious man, a ruler of the Jews, a high position, does not mean that he understood the spiritual. He didn't understand the heavenly. Many of us need to understand there is a spiritual aspect here. We need to open our spiritual eyes because the Bible says that men are in darkness. Men are blinded. So what we need is to be able to have the light revealed to us. That's what Jesus is doing with Nicodemus. He's revealing the light. And part of that light that leads to salvation, that leads to the kingdom of God, that leads to life everlasting in heaven with the Lord, is part, you have to be born again. So the new birth that's essential in salvation. So, despite him being obviously religious and also wealthy, he's mentioned two other times in the Bible in the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, he's actually accused by the other religious people of being a Galilean because he defended Jesus when people were talking about him. And then he's mentioned again over in the Gospel of John chapter 19. After Jesus is crucified, they take him down off the cross. There come a man named Nicodemus that came and took the body and he wrapped it up. And so he anoints the body of Jesus there. Nicodemus anointed his body. And so he brought these spices and things that are very expensive. So despite being wealthy and despite being religious, he still does not understand what's going to happen to him when he dies. May I say to you today, there's people here, even in the Bible Belt that we live in, that do not understand the same thing that Nicodemus does not understand, and that is, how can I be born again? How can I be saved? And you would think, I mean, I grew up in this area, and I know everything that I've ever heard and learned, and so I know that. But there are people that have never heard it taught, never heard it preached. They don't understand, and they really need to know.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Bayley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.